Tá bom, tá bom.
Tefillin has a specific time when they when it should be put on. Its mitzvah is a time-bound mitzvah, essentially, even though technically we have argued that it may not be a mitzvah saseh shazman groma. It is only because of technicalities that we don't wear Shabbos on we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. Technicality of oaths. And this we will have to refer back to the Gemara that we did on previous occasions, but let's take a look at it from the Shulchan Aruch itself.
You can only wear it during the daytime.
Yeah,
not a question of man grama.
And nonetheless, it may not be a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, because zman mitzvah saseh shazman grama means that zman is intrinsic to the mitzvah. Such as Pesach must be on the 15th of Nisan, because that time is intrinsic to the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of morer and the mitzvah of korban Pesach. Mm-hmm. When we say, on the other hand, that tefillin is a day time mitzvah or a day bound mitzvah, it does not mean that it is necessarily intrinsic to tefillin. That time is the intrinsic element over here. Yeah, we have a reason, as we learned. Laila we take off, it's a take off the tefillin because of the gezera of Chazal, that Shema Yishan Bo, you don't want to go to sleep with that. The kedusha of tefillin is that great that you don't want to fall asleep on it. You see. That doesn't mean, therefore, that it has an element intrinsic to the mitzvah that is called Zman, and Yom in this case. It's not so. Gadol schar mitzvah tefillin. Great is the schar of performing the mitzvah tefillin. V'chol mishe no manichom, and anyone who does not go ahead and put on tefillin, and obviously is capable of doing it and understands what it's all about, who bichlal poshei Yisrael begufon. He is considered in a class of poshei Yisrael, those who do violence to Yisrael begufon by virtue of their body. Mishnah Berurah will explain what this is all about. We generally understand poshei Yisrael.
A transgressor of Israel.
Among Israel, right. So what is this, poshea Yisrael bigufo? Mm-hmm. You know, what difference does it make whether it's gufo or by virtue of the intellectual damage that you do to Yisrael? What is this new category? That you will see when we get to the Mishnah Berurah. Halacha beis, mitzvah son liyos alav kol hayom. The mitzvah is that tefillin be worn all day, and nonetheless, I'm telling you, that does not mean that daytime is intrinsic to this mitzvah. Aval, mitnei shetzrichim guf naki. However, since one of the absolute sine qua non conditions of the mitzvah is that it be beguf naki, that it be worn in a state of kedusha where the body is entirely clean. Shele yafiach behem, that he not pass any gas. Shele yasiach da'ato mehem. Hesech hadas is another element that you are constantly aware that it is on you, and that you have a conscious awareness that you're wearing tefillin. And therefore, einad kol adam yachol yizaher behem. The conditions for wearing the tefillin are so stringent that not every person could live up to those conditions. The minog arose, no'agu shelo v'hanicham kol hayom, not to wear it all day. When we call makom, but this notwithstanding, sarich kol adam yizaher behem liyosom alav b'shas kriyat shema tefila. But at least during kriyat shema and davening, in other words, shacharis, one should make sure that you have your tefillin on. Katan hayodeh lishmor tefillin b'tahara. Someone before bar mitzvah who has demonstrated that he understands the importance of tefillin, bit tahara, in a sense of tahara. In other words, shelo yishan bahem, v'shelo yafiach bahem. He won't sleep with it, not pass gas with it. To which the Rama adds his hagor, his footnote, v'shelo likanes bahem the beis hakiseh, that he won't go running in to the bathroom with it. Is chayav avim liknot lo tefillin lechanechot. there is an obligation of chinuch that the father has to buy this katan a pair of tefillin. That, according to the Mechaber, Rabbi Yosef Karo. To which Rav Moh adds, Hagor, his footnote, V'yesham, and there are those who disagree, and say, the high katan, dafka kishuhu ben yud gimul shanim, the yom echad. We're really talking about a katan who is on the verge of reaching his majority, his bar mitzvah age. Mm-hmm. And that's the one where the father has a chiyuv to buy for his son tefillin. Our minog in Ashkenaz is that we are not talking about anything before bar mitzvah age, and that should not be changed. This minog is kind of fixed. Divrei Atzmo, this is the chiddush of the Ramah. And you know, we have the obvious minog that we put on tefillin on a child just about bar mitzvah time, whether it's 4 weeks or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, it's really immaterial. And we do generally accede to this, even though you would find a 10-year-old or a 9-year-old who probably could keep the tefillin in good shape, even though he is far removed from the age of bar mitzvah. We just don't play around with it.
Do we know what the Vilna Gaon did?
What he did with his children?
No, when he was a child.
I have no idea. Have no idea. What you're asking me is, at least the way I'm filtering it, in the absence of any biographical information, can we glean from his perish on Shulchan Aruch what his bias would be or what his preference would be? That's a possibility. The Vilna Gaon before we get to some of the details in the Mishnah Berurah. Muhammad Zayin. On page 82, yeah. Ki dolo mitzvos tefillin shekol hamanichan ma'arich yamin. Shene'emar Hashem aleihem yichyeh. But through them, okay, through the name of Hashem being on them, yichyeh, it will give you life. If you're a skeptic and if you're a cynic and you don't, you don't entirely maintain that tefillin will give you long life, I just want to indicate to you there's a very pleasant alternative for skeptics. Arichus yamin doesn't only mean aroch, long. Arichus yamin means a patterned life, a life of patterning, such as in Rosh Chodesh, Birchas HaChodesh, Yisita Nonu Chaim Aruchim. Maybe long life, but it also means a life of pattern. A life of pattern means a style of life that we know exactly where we stand and where we are, and it's not helter-skelter. And some sociologists...
Like Shulchan Aruch.
Similar, although this is with an aleph and this is with an ayin, but definitely connected and interrelated.
Are you forcing the meaning? Or
no. Ta'ale arucha. Arucha means, with an aleph, I'm not forcing the meaning. Ta'ale arucha le'ale nidaf is one of the piyutim that we say on Yom Kippur. Nila time, Tala Aruchala Aleni, I'm sorry, Konidra time. And it simply means Aleni Daf is a leaf torn away from its branch. It can be blown by the slightest wind, hither and fro. Tala Aruchala is give us stability. Aleni Daf to a nation that is the wandering Jew, hither and fro. Okay? So I'm not forcing the meaning. It is authentic. Now, Ma'arich Yamin can, as I say, for the cynic, the one who just can't make the association that tefillin is in a cause and effect relationship will give you long life. The fact of the matter is that a couple of months ago, as we sit
at the American Sociological Association, there was a gal who presented a major paper on the quality of life of the person who prays daily. And obviously, having studied it from psychosomatic
vantage
points and other vantage points, and she was able to conclude that the one who prays daily is a life which is far more stable and far more patterned in general than the one who doesn't. So we ask for, you know, chayim arutim. We'd like to know that everything is in place and everything is settled. It's not a kind of helter-skelter thing, and the pressures we're able to handle and so on. Several years ago, there was someone who did a study on those who come to shul every single day in daven daily, you know, minyan time. It isn't necessarily coming to shul, but observing the time clock in such a way that you get up, you go to shul, then you go to work and go to your business, they have far less incidence of something like 41% less incidence of heart attacks, all other things being equal. And this could be within the pattern of arucha. That, you know, there is a certain patterning over there that does allow you to gain certain benefits. So there is scientific evidence. I would not say that you would go to the bank on it, but surely there is an indicator over there. Yeah, there are plenty of people who die young, despite the fact that they are putting on pills.
Right.
But there is something. But
the
there's
the obvious.
Right, but there's something there. There surely is something there. Okay? Pasuk says, Shenema Hashem Alehem Yechyeh. It means, Osam Shenosi'im Alehem Shem Hashem Shehem Tfilin. Those who carry, who bear upon them the name of Yudkei Vovkei, which is Hashem, which is inscribed in Tfilin 42 times, is Shehem Tfilin, is Yechyeh, will be granted life. The Isa B'Shimusha Rabba, the Sefer Shimusha Rabba, it says, B'chol HaMiniach Tfilin, he who puts on tefillin in misateich betzitzis and wraps himself in tzitzis for kolei kriyash ma'alus v'alayo is muftach shehu ben ha'olam haba. This is your key to ben olam haba. Ve'en eish shel gehinom shaleit bo. The fires of hell will not singe him va'amvonotav nimchalim. That which are his sins will be forgiven. And this is the tour. And in Maseches Brachos we say, Amrinan kol ha'nifneh. He who goes ahead and gets up in the morning and follows this pattern, nifne, tends to his bowel movement, v'netel yadav, and then goes and washes nifilat yadayim, and proceeds from there, maniach tefillin, and goes on the korei kriyashma, and continues in mitpalel, is ki'ilu bana mizbeach, in the mystical sense, it is as if he went ahead and he built a mizbeach. He kriv alav korban and was actually doing korbanos. It's ayin shamat. You'll see that. V'chol mi she'enom maniach tefillin, and he who does not put on tefillin at that occasion over b'shmone asay. There are eight different mitzvot asay that you're losing. Why? The bedalid parshios shel tefillin. If you take a look at the four parshios individually of tefillin. Each one is kesivei shel yad v'shel rosh. The mitzvah is repeated each single time that you put it on your hands, k'shav from los ayadecha, and shel rosh v'hayu l'totafos v'neinecha. Right? V'cholachas asei b'fnei atzman. You count that each one as a separate asei, and you see that you have the eight. He concludes, and this is where he concludes where the Shulchan Aruch starts. V'chol she'eino maniach tefillin is nikra poshea Yisrael b'gufo. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which the Mishnah Berurah will quote for us, will explain what this Poshea Yisrael Bigufo means. The dimension, the Chiddush of Bigufo. Vilachem, based on all the above, Tzarich Kol Yish Yisrael Yizahe Ben Mitzvah HaGedola HaLazol. V'sheyahader Achar Sofer Yirei Adikim. And it is truly a proper Hebrew Mitzvah to choose a Sofer who is Yirei Shemayim, who will produce for you tefillin na'im u'mehudarim v'yizkor shelo b'chol yom v'lo b'chol shana lokeach tefillin. You've got to remember that it isn't every day and not even every year that you take tefillin. That if you take them and you get the most expensive kind and the most mahudar kind, it's going to last you for years. And if this being the case, if you amortize what a pair of tefillin will cost you over all the years that you have it, it's a pittance. I'm wearing a pair of tefillin, my pair of tefillin, which in those years cost me $150. It's easily 20, 23 years that I have it. I spend once $25 to strip down the batim to have them redone. So it was $175. And then a second time I spent $50 to strip down the batim. And the third time I just spent $80 now. But take it all together, I'm talking about what? $325 over, amortized over 20 years, and they're like new. They're absolutely like new. So, it's a pittance.
The same parchment turns out.
Same parchments haven't been touched. When I came to Yerushalayim, the first time I wanted to have the batim redone, this is 11 years ago, I brought the batim to Meir Shoim. I was told to go to a certain place, and this batimacher, the guy who makes the batim, would, Strelitz was his name, would already take care of it. He opened up the tefillin in my presence, and he looked at the parshiyos, and he called over a worker, and the worker says, you check, it's nice, you know. They looked at the parshiyos, and the fellow said to me, do you know who the sofer is? I said, no, I bought them in America. He says, you want to meet the sofer? Now this was already 10, 11 years down the pipe.
They could tell from the
He was able to take it. And he looked at it, he said, without question, this is my anger. These are my pastors.
Yeah.
So, today...
I'm telling you, this is 20 some odd years ago that I bought this particular pair.
Uh-huh. All right? So, $150 at that time. I remember I paid them out, $25 a month, $25 a month, until 6 months. And I had it. And so today, what? $500-$600 per film. So amortize $600 over 20 years. They're surely going to last 20 years. That's the way it's about it. What's the big deal? 30 bucks a month. It's chicken feed. It's $3 a month. I mean, $30 a year. $3 a month, it's absolute chicken feed.
We should offer the finance company to start the filling on time.
Yeah, but we can't. There is no sofer that I know of who deals with the yeshiva world, let's say, who hasn't extended some kind of layaway plan to anyone who has asked for it.
And sofers are not exactly, that well off to extend credit to people.
I hear what you're saying. But I don't know really of anyone who wanted to, who was inspired by the way the Aruch HaShulchan writes, who didn't have to ultimately run into a problem and not be able to get it. Let's see. Well, hold on. Before we go on in the Aruch HaShulchan, let's see what the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says by referring back to the Mishnah Berurah, and that is in Siman Seif Katan Dalad. Okay. Poshaya Yisrael Begufan. The din of Poshea Yisrael Begufo is recorded, Pasuk Peshas, is recorded in Shas, Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Zayin. Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Zayin, they're talking about there the three types of people, Tzadikim, Rishayim, and Benonim.
Mm-hmm.
The tshuva process for each over there. Not only the tshuva process, but the when the Gzardin
is recorded. That's what the Gemara talks about there. So says the Gemara, Da'afidu hu ish benoni. Even if he is a 50-50 guy, which halavai all of us should be, shedarko shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu lehatos hakaf klapei chesed. If we're 50-50, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tip the scales for us in our favor. Okay? Is mikevan shenimtza betoch avonasav avon zeh. But if he has this avon of not having taken the opportunity to put on tefillin, this kaf chova is machras, then it tips the other way. The humuchrach le'reid le'gehenom, so to speak. He is relegated to oblivion. In chas v'shalom gam kein avonosav merubim mizafiosav. If in addition to this, his other avonos are greater than his mitzvahs and his merits, is nidon b'gehenom yud beis chodesh. There's a 12-month relegation to oblivion. V'achar kach, and after those 12 months, Gufon kolo, body is destroyed, obviously because of decomposition. But nishmason nisrefes, the nishama expires. The ruach mefazeres afaron tachas kapos raglei atzadikim. And in a very prosaic manner, a wind will come to blow whatever is left. All right, of that human being, to be nothing more than dust under the soles and the feet of tzaddikim. Vayein sham b'tosfos. Take a look in Tosfos. He says, "Bechol zeh b'shelo asat tshuva." Obviously, where there is no tshuva process, we are talking about. Where there is, what's there to talk about? Yam ki gadol koach hamitzvah kol kach. And since this mitzvah is so efficacious. Ulahepech, and the converse, ha'onesh, rachrona litzlan, you know, is so great. Lachein yizaher kol adam liknos tfilin misofer mumcher. The yirei shamayim, uba'al Torah. And not only the tfilin, but he insists, lachein ritzuos. The ritzuos, which have different din than tfilin, is yikne me'ish ne'emon, kidei sheyehe batuach shene'evdu, so that you can be secure that the ritzuos, the straps, were worked lishimon for the sake of tefillin, me'oros tahoros, from kosher animals. Ki mishehu meniach tefillin psulim, because if you don't have tefillin that are correct, lo levad she'eino mekayem ha-mitzvah, not only don't you have the mitzvah being observed, ela, you walk into another trap. It's a catch 22, she'mevarech kama v'kama brachot levatala shehu avon gadol. Saying a bracha on it every single time, it's no good. Uba'avonoseinu harabim. Given our circumstances today, rabba hamachshela, the stumbling blocks are so great. The masha konim tefillin uritzuos mimandahu, from any old shop. You walk in, you buy. Lefishem ochrim bezol, and this is the important part, that they sell it for cheap.
That's the way it was 40 years ago in America. Probably.
It's happening today in
Israel. Still today.
Can't help it, right? The rubam, most of them, don't have the basic din of einam merubaim. They are not square. Round tefillin are osur. The old yeser kilkulim, there are a whole host of other snags, shematsui bahem, that you will find with those tefillin, be'es ksivasan, even from the time that they were written. The whole Yirei Shemayim Yitena Libo, every single Yirei Shemayim should psych himself up. Imal Malbushav V'Kelav Hu Mahader, if it comes to your furniture and your clothing, you are Mahader, you are so careful that what Sheyihiyu Ketikunam, that they be proper, that they fit properly and everything else. Alright? Is Mikol Shekein, all the more the Chetzei Shemayim Shelo Yitzam saying, when it comes to these ritual objects, chetzei shemayim, that you not go ahead and you be miserly, be a chos al hakesef, and you worry about a couple of dollars. Elo liyahader liknos asam shehein bevaday ksherim af shemechiram rav, even if it's going to cost you, make sure it's kosher. The Kosava Darkei Moshe, the Ramo, in his parish on the tour, that's called the Darkei Moshe, quotes the Mordechai, who was one of the Rishonim, is Yesh lo adam lahader achar tefillin na'im. Mordechai writes that you have to go ahead and do hider mitzvah with tefillin, shenema, based on the pasuk zeh keli v'yanvehu, this is my God and I shall glorify him. Dahainu, the hider is shek savon, that it was written by a lavlar, a sofer, uman. Lavlar is sofer in its Aramaic form.
Oh.
But Aramaic that is directly related to the Latin and the Greek root of Libra. Okay? It's the same letters. Libra.
Okay.
Okay? Lavlar uman, who is a professional, bichtav na'e, proper handwriting, ubigyo na'e, excellent ink, bekumus na'e, with a feather that is proper for the whip.
Quill.
Yeah, the quill. Uklafim na'im, klaf is with the parchment. So that the Hidur mitzvah has got to be in any and every one of these inyanim. So we see that Ashkenaz has emphasized this Hidur na'im. Mordechai is Ashkenaz, goes back to the area of the Bali, you know, Germany. Ashkenaz has generally taken off with the Hidur mitzvah of tefillin far greater than in Sfar. And we have emphasized it. You see it clearly.
Tefillin are different than ours?
Their tefillin are, in terms of Hidur, while they may be kosher, they do not require the same Hidurim by tradition as we in Ashkenaz have.
Does it bear on the distinction of the two types of tefillin, Pshutim and...
That's only part of it. Pshutim are the batim. Interestingly enough, the Zomagon did not insist on the batim that we have today.
What do we call? We have Orecha.
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 He said unnecessary. He was more concerned with the technicalities of it. But there's no question today that because of our economic status, we are far more Mahader in tefillin and its external construction than they were in generations before.
You mean that our tefillin are better?
Far better than what used to be. Yeah, with rare exceptions. Saul Klugov has a pair of tefillin, the likes of which, written in Germany way over 100 years ago, the likes of which I've never seen. It's unbelievable. Absolutely, the workmanship is unbelievable. But remember, our parshios today in a top-of-the-line kind of thing is the equivalent ksav of a Sefer Torah. And that's the whole difference between a $2 mezuzah and a $25 mezuzah. If you want the Hebrew and the mezuzah, they should be just like a Sefer Torah. The writing is, the Hebrew is in the writing and in the parchment. Now, that's in an economically advanced society such as ours.
And why shouldn't we have it?
This is an old trust.
Yeah.
If you can, go ahead.
Right.
And look at the benefits. $30 a year, the way I amortize it, $30 a year is such a pittance.
Yeah, but the people who object to the price of people driving Cadillacs and Mercedes.
But human nature, you know you cannot change human nature. Human nature is human nature. If it accrues to your benefit, your self-aggrandizement because you've got a very gorgeous jacket over there, it's mohair or it's silk and so. it's a tweed and whatever it is, what's wrong? Everyone sees you that way. It's a statement that you make. Baruch Hashem, we have made a statement with tefillin and mezuzahs wherever possible. So long as we're not ripped off and you get the Hebrew that you're entitled to, it's probably still within line. Really is within line. If you consider Mahavdil Elef Alfei Hevdalos, that a little piece, a little part in the dryer that we have downstairs costs $5, and they came and they charged us $59 for 25 minutes of labor to install it, because that's what the man is worth, then let's just look at the labor of a skilled sofer who can do it with Hebrew, aside from the fact that he's Eurasian, it's probably worth every penny. It's not out of line.
maybe cheap.
Rabbi Cohn
tells a very interesting story. There was a sofer on the east side, a very fine sofer, who greeted Rabbi Cohn when he came into the store, and he asked him, Rabbi Cohn asked if he has a pair of tefillin, he'd like to buy a pair of tefillin for someone. He says, you want cheap or expensive? He said, in Yiddish.
Mm-hmm.
Cheap or expensive. When he heard that word, cheap, billig, billig tzataya, he went into a rage, he told me, how can you ever use the adjective cheap for tefillin? Say expensive and less expensive, expensive and more expensive. If you're selling me something cheap, you're selling me, it's got to be phony. It's got to be phony. And it's so incredibly sensitive. And you see, you cannot understand that sensitivity. You would say that it is so, you know, idiosyncratic on his part. Mm-hmm. Like such a hullabaloo over it. And you can't understand it unless you read it, read into it what obviously the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan is saying. We still didn't get a Zman. You see, no Zman. Zman is not intrinsic to tefillin, almost. Back in the Aruch HaShulchan days, Yesh mi shechalek avon zeh legimul chalukot. The avera of not putting on tefillin can be subdivided into three. Who the Misha Eino Manicha Mifnei Shehein Bizuyosala? That if one doesn't put on tefillin because he loathes the mitzvah, all right, is Hava Poshei Yisrael Begufo. This is what is a Poshei Yisrael Begufo. Ba'alehem Amru Barash Hashana Nidonin Bedore Dores Begehenna. This is what the Gemara says, that their soul will be forever relegated to oblivion. Umi she'eino manicham, but the one who doesn't put it on, mitnei she'eino ratzeh lispatel mimelachto, one who just can't tear away because he doesn't want to lose time from work, is hava gam kein b'shei Yisrael b'gufo. It's also the same thing, but such a person nidon b'gehinom yud beis chodesh. Aval mi she'eino manicham, if someone goes ahead and doesn't put on tefillin, because he may not be able to be in top-notch tohara shape, this person is eino bichlal poshei Yisrael. There's a technicality of a chait, but you can't call him a poshei Yisrael gufal. Shekol adam yachol lizaher al sha'ah kala. Because after all is said and done, unless there is immense duress, or there is a kind of hospital situation where it's impossible, or some physically debilitating situation, every person normally can be careful al sha'a kala for a short while of kriyat shema and tefillah. And kein kosav ha-rosh sechon al-rosh. This is what the Rosh wants to indicate clearly.
But if in the course of the morning, when you get up in the morning and you drink a cup of coffee or something and get your system going, and maybe it takes a little longer to move your bowels properly so that you can put on the tefillin. And let's say you have to make a chain and you can't quite fit it in. I mean, does it mean you should not put on tefillin?
No.
Because you have a chashash, you might have to interrupt yourself or that.
That chashash is called neurosis. You understand? It's how you handle it. It's how we balance it. Clearly, one's morning bowel movement, at least the way I understand it,
does not occur unless and until we start getting going. Okay?
Well,
it's normal, it's natural, it happens in every single time. It's a matter of balancing, it's a matter of scheduling. So put it on and then you're caught, take it off. That's not that.
The other thing is it's not meant in the sense that I want to be critical of the Gemara, but when the Gemara says that somebody who does not observe tefillin, there are certain punishments that happen to him afterwards, that his nefesh is burned up and that he spends 12 months in Gehenna. How are we, you know, with a 20th century intellect, to deal with this? You might, if you want to take them literally, so you're going to ask, well, how do they know? Now, Chazal was saying this, I don't know if you want to say they were saying it derech mashal, or you want to say that they're saying it literally. They meant what they said.
Good. You know I never liked the literalists. Okay? But I have very little trouble with the symbolism, with the metaphor. If you remember what tefillin is all about, in all of its symbolic dimensions, number one, it's on the weaker hand, to indicate that humanity, by definition, has a weak spot. We call it the Yetzer Hara, has the ability to be tempted into less than perfect standards, or less than the heights to which we can rise. You know, there's always that inertia pulling us down, whether it's called laziness or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On the other hand, there's a Tefillin Shel Rosh, which by virtue of its construction is different than the Tefillin Shel Yad, specifically, in that it has four different compartments. We all think individually. There are no two people who will think in the same patterns of thoughts. That is our uniqueness. Not only in theology, let's say, in Torah, but lahavdil in psychology. Every human being is a unique statement by virtue of his thought patterns. We can be identical twins, we still live, and we share so many like characteristics, but we are individuals, like our fingerprints. Our thought processes are as individualistic as our fingerprints. On the one hand, that's brilliant, you know, that leads us to such great heights, to know that there's just no one like me. On the other hand, can create such immense, immense abuse of human humility, a quality which we're so capable of. We become enamored with our own ways of thoughts, to say that since it is so unique, no one really can understand me because it's sui generis. I'm the only one who can understand myself because I have created this unique pattern of thought, this unique lifestyle. These things talk to me. When a person goes ahead, and not only physically, but mentally, believes in these things and ultimately leads the person to a sense of haughtiness and a sense of gavva, second to none, then what Torah comes along and says, and what Chazal is saying is, this neshama of yours, which true is a chedek eloka mimal, which is a godly chip, has gone awry. Things are going haywire. We've just had a Chernobyl explosion over here. A nuclear reactor has gone to its disastrous limits. Such a neshama, before it does more harm, has got to be completely obliterated. See, because the godly in you should not only create this sense of pride of self, but at the same time must induce a sense of humility that you are not always right, that it is impossible for you to be unique in the sense that you know what is best for you. And only you know what is best for you. You have a weak hand, a left side, a less than dominant side, which kind of pulls the human personality down. Imperfection is a trait of humanity. And you have to realize that. You have to try to cope with that imperfection so that it doesn't destroy the rest of you. Now, given all of these symbols as they occur to me haphazardly, I have no problem as a 20th century individual to intellectualize what's going on here. I cannot tell you what the process is literally. I cannot tell you what the fiber is all about, but I can tell you that if I do believe that the neshama is eternal, and I do believe that, I pretty much want to go back to my source, and whatever is going to be, I would hope that I would be able to bask in the luxury of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The opposite, the converse, is going to occur. If I can't pattern my thoughts to understand that as much self-esteem as I must have, there has to be the concomitant of a sense of humility that you're not capable of doing anything. I am not capable of doing, anything, I mean everything, the way I see it, without taking into consideration other needs and other styles of life. And I'm going to be, I'm going to be held to live with. And this is what tefillin is all about. The day, the morning when you get going, and you charge forth into the economic marketplace and into the social marketplace, that you have to be aware of your, the glories, so to speak, of imperfection. I am. Humanity, by definition, is imperfect. You have to live with that. But you can live with it in a way that you boast of that imperfection, rather than consider it a source of shame, a source of guilt, a source of resignation.
Okay, but now you have the other problem, that it's so easy to put them on mechanically. Whereas here there's...
But I really can't help that.
Whereas here we're speaking about Arichut Yamim.
Yeah.
And Gadolcha Mitzvos, Tefillin.
Yeah.
That the reward for wearing them is very great.
Yeah, given all of the mental activity that comes along with it.
So it's assuming that you're not doing it in a mechanical way, just putting them on and taking them off.
That's correct.
Which unfortunately might be characteristic of a large part of the
every mitzvah
community.
Yes, but every single mitzvah is open to
that abuse.
To that abuse.
Absolutely.
So
we're not saying anything.
No, I mean, you gotta be aware of it. Simple as that. Not only do you have to be aware of it, you have to work at it. That's why the Gemara says, Gemara Menachah says, how can a human being go ahead and converse when he has to do it not? With a conversation.
You mean with another
person? Yeah, okay. The conversation we're talking about is Sichas Chulin. It has absolutely nothing to do with the Kedusha at hand. You can only understand that when the Kohen Gadol wore the tzitz, the golden plate on his forehead that simply said Kodesh Lashem Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Now he had one, so the man never was Mesiach Das. The Kohen Gadol never lost sight of the fact that he had Shem Hashem over here.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have one times 42, 24. I believe it's 42. I'm almost certain it's 42. Shemos here in the Yad, and here. Or was it 48?
I think it's 44. We went through
42.
This.
We went, we yeah, the bomb, out. Yeah, 42. Okay, 42. So it's 21 here and 21 there. How can a person even think of worrying about whether the Giants are going to make it to the Super Bowl? Or are they favored 2-1? The whole purpose is to be able to bring to that 40 or 45 minute segment the kind of awareness of Kedusha and chunk out 45 minutes of Kodesh from the whole. Simple as that. In the hope that the glow and the embers, the energy that will radiate, the psychic energy that will radiate from those 45 minutes will be a totally different experience altogether for the day, for the rest of the day. These are assumed. Nope. So you're telling me that we don't get there? So what am I going to do? Not put on film altogether? Your alternative is better. I don't know yet. I haven't decided it. I really haven't decided that in my mind.
No, what we're saying is not just the tefillin, it's every single mitzvah that, you know, it's davening, it's... It could be making Pesach, it could be Batikas Abayas.
No question.
You could build a sukkah and sit in it and be a miserable person too.
That's right. No question about it. These symbols lose their meaning if we don't come to it to begin with an emotional and a mental attitude that says, Ashreinu matol chalkeinu manoim garalein, you know?
Would you go so far as to generalize and say that every mitzvah that we have, this may be too great a generalization, but let's say, I won't even categorize them, let's say, I'll just name them, the mitzvah of Shabbos, the mitzvah of Kashrus, the mitzvah of Lashevet Basuka, and Achilas Matzah, and Lulav, Esrog and Lulav, that all of, and obviously Tzitzis and Tefillin, that all of these have some sort of a moral overtone to them?
Every single one. And I'll go even further and say that every single mitzvah has some kind of an effect that it must create or leave on the individual psyche so that I'm a better person today after that mitzvah than before.
Now would you say every mitzvah does that? All 613?
Everyone.
Even the agricultural laws?
Every single one.
Korbanos?
Especially agricultural korbanos. Every single one. I would be hard pressed to rationalize for you, let's say, the tumah mitzvah. Okay, but let's just take the Shulchan Aruch. Let's say the mitzvahs that are noeg bazman hazeh, that are applicable and that are enforced today. That's the four sections of Shulchan Aruch, correct? Every single mitzvah is designed to have some kind of an effect on the lifestyle, on the mental, emotional, psychic, and intellectual gestalt of the human being. And I'm a different person before that mitzvah and after that mitzvah. You see, if you're shocked at that, then I have to introduce you personally to a sefer that you may have heard of, but you haven't given too much attention to. And that is Bachya Ibn Pakuda's Chovos Al Vovos. It's one of the earliest statements of Jewish philosophy, which simply claims that your obligation in doing the mitzvah is not fulfilled until the levavos, until the lev is manifest in every action that you do. We speak of three realms, machshava, maaseh, and dibur, the thought process, right? The oral part of it, and the actual action. That the action, your maaseh, is stripped of all of its life unless the machshava is there. The maaseh is the goof, and the machshava is the neshama. You don't have a living corporate being, a true mitzvah, until you join the two.
Olmos, that's the whole Kol Vos Havolos. It happens to be translated in English also.